Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. There you can find these programs archived. The last week's programs are available there for you to listen on demand. If you want to re-listen or you want to catch up on what you missed the day before, it's there for you. Other Bible studies are there that you can listen to at absolutely no cost. You can download the entire studies to your iPod or whatever portable device you have. Take them to work with you. Put them on CDs. Share them with other people. It's all there for you to take advantage of. We're going through the book of Proverbs today. We've ended up in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. So we're going to jump right in here. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. I love the way that the King James translators translated these words, and the pictures, the illustrations. Attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. What does it mean that your lips may keep knowledge? The words that come out of your mouth will be his words. They'll be words of understanding, discretion, to carefully consider the words that come out of your mouth. Chapter 5, verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Wow, what a picture. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou should ponder the path of life. And that's the way life is in the world. When we grow up, we're constantly, and it's more so ever, constantly barraged with anything, any idea, anything to keep us from pondering the path of life. You got to keep busy. You know, there are people that you get around them, they can't enjoy the moment. They have to fill every second of silence with empty words. And today they, you know, with all the video games and all of the movies with all their flash bang continually, people have to be entertained lest they ponder the path of life. What does it mean to ponder the path of life? To think deeply about your life, path, about where your life is going. What is life about? Why are we here? You know, those questions that lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life. Her ways are immovable. And we're talking about this evil woman, this evil of life being personified here, the lips of a strange woman. And this strange woman is opposed to discretion and wisdom and the understanding of God. It's everything that opposes him, that opposes you entering into his kingdom and obtaining eternal life, lest you should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, constantly changing, constantly a constant barrage of variety to keep you entertained. Her ways are movable, that you cannot know them. You can't know them because they keep changing. But it is entertaining, is it not? Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. And don't even go near evil. When you see it, by keeping his words, hear me now, depart not from the words of my mouth, by going to evil, to check on evil, to look at it, to be enticed by it. There's a danger there. Remove thy way far from her, and come not near the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor to others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and they labors be in the house of a stranger. Wow. Sounds like the slavery of the age that I live in, is it not? The strangers are filled with our wealth, the wealth of the people. They sit up there making 10 times what they could for the same services, and that's, you know, the way it is with most of the state workers. They make a multiple, especially if you're in elected office, you'd make 10 times. But just to be, you know, in a public place where you're doing some work for the state, you're going to make quite a bit more than you could for the same work out in the marketplace. And that's how strangers are filled with the wealth of the people, because they're forced to pay. And your labors be in the house of a stranger. And here we can talk about the sin of debt, too. You're enticed by this, the lips of a strange woman. Well, you know what? When you see a commercial on the TV, think about the lips of the strange woman. They drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. That reminds me of the advertising industry. That's what it's all about. And, oh yes, they love the images of the, you know, the beautiful women and the lips of a strange woman. They're just trying to sell you something, and they portray it as honey, sweet as honey. And their words are smoother than oil. They're smooth talkers. But their end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword, because they want to enslave you. They want to addict you to their products, you know, so that they can take your life. And they want you to go into debt. They want you to mortgage your soul so that your strangers will be filled with your wealth and your labors will be in the house of a stranger. How's that for application? And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. That's it. I worked all my life. And what do I have left? All I get is a social security check every month. I better join ARP so we can vote more largesse. At least maybe they'll send me free drugs so that I can medicate myself out of this pain of living. Thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. What a terrible retirement plan. You know, you work your best years away slaving for all of the things that you thought you wanted. And now you get a bumper sticker that says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. not really funny, is it? Not really funny. I don't like that retirement plan. You know, I'll take his retirement plan, you know, the one that lasts forever, the one where I get a new body, where I'll never get sick and grow old, where I'll never suffer in pain or have any sorrow. I like his retirement plan. You know, there's nothing the world that has to offer that could compare with the retirement plan of our Heavenly Father. So I'll take his, rather than end up like this and I'll mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed and say, oh, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Okay, let's see. I think we switched gears here. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly? The instruction here is, drink water out of thine own cistern. Well, wait a minute. Isn't everyone supposed to give me money so I can drink out of this cistern, drink that wine of wickedness? And eat the bread of evil? Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and the rivers of water in the street. And, you know, I see that now he's saying that we need to be generous. That if we're blessed, and we're eating the fruit of our own labor, we're drinking water out of our own cistern, and he says, let your fountains be dispersed abroad, and the rivers of water in the street. let them not be thine own only and not strange. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So here I see that, you know, we're supposed to eat the fruit of our own labors. We're supposed to work hard and perhaps even be giving and generous with what we have. This is as opposed to coercion, being forced to give, because I see nowhere in the scripture where charity is forced on anyone. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say that this is something that our Heavenly Father hates. He hates forced charity, because how can you give? I mean, how charitable is it when you are coerced by the gun, by the power of the state, to support the poor and the old and the widows? You get no blessing from it whatsoever, because you're not giving out of true charity. So the state in that way robs you of your opportunity to be charitable by voluntary. Of course, they use the word voluntary, don't they? Voluntary compliance. Just like an oxymoron. Voluntary compliance. Yes. Who thinks of these things? I wonder. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And we touched on this in the book of Malachi, where that same phrase, the wife of thy youth, is used. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Now, you don't never should anyone abandon the wife of their youth for a younger model. And in Israel, in the Hebrew nation, the law allowed them to have another wife. So if they took another wife, here the commandment says still that they should rejoice with the wife of their youth, and let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And that's, how can you command love? You know, I mean, but the commandment says, if we jump forward into the New Testament, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a commandment, you know. That's a commandment for the married man, to love his wife. And here we get a little deeper instruction from the preacher. He says, be thou ravished always with her love. And, you know, that's the beauty of a lifelong relationship or marriage, and that you should always see that partner, that husband or that wife, you should always see them the way that you saw them in the beginning. You should always see the beauty of the one that you married, always. And, you know, there's a lot of choice in this. People make a choice. They entertain. There's a lot of sayings in the world about, you know, growing old, and, you know, and there's a lot of temptations out there to embrace things that go against the commandment, that go against his law and how to treat your spouse as she gets older, or whatever, or how she thinks about you as you get older. But the commandment here and the instruction is that we should always be ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of Yahuwah, of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. So what he's saying is here, is no, you can't just go out and have a fling to gratify your flesh, or have a one-night stand, or hire a whore, or whatever you may think to do, because the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He ponders all your ways. You can't do anything in secret. You can't get away with anything. As I said, it makes you who you are. So you become what you do. It shapes you. How can you get away from that? You can't get away from who you are, and if what the things that you do shape you. And if you've done evil, then repent, and he'll wash you clean. And certainly you have to live with the memories of the things that you've done. But he can wash you clean, and he can give you a peace that passes understanding. It says, all the ways of a man are before the eyes of Yahuwah, before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. That's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say, is you are what you do. Your own iniquities take you. They take your life. They turn you into that wicked that you do. Do you want to be that? No, run, you know, repent from the wickedness and have his law written on your heart and have your sins washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. What a terrible, tragic way to live. Now, we do not ever justify your sin. Repent. Our Heavenly Father, he is forgiving, and he's willing to erase all that sin and wash us clean by the blood of the Lamb. And yes, we have to deal with it. We have to repent. And some of us will have to repent over and over of the same thing until we get it erased enough, or at least it's written over enough with the law of God that we obey the law of God rather than the sin that we were used to obeying. That's the challenge, you know. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So we need to endure his correction. We need to endure the chastisement of our Heavenly Father to save our lives, so that we can stay in his kingdom forever, so that we can pass over into the resurrection and enjoy all the promises of his forever retirement. And it'll be a wonderful and glorious retirement, not like the retirement the world offers when your body's all worn out and your vigor is all gone. Then you get to retire and enjoy the last few years of your slavery. Because yes, when your master is sending you a check every month, that's how you identify who your master is. Worn you out, use you up, but they ain't through with you yet. If you have any property, they're going to get every last dime that you've worked your life for. Either you're going to roll it back into their economy to support the things that they're doing, or they're going to take it through their medical industry and all of their mandated insurances and all of the other schemes that you signed up for without knowledge when you thought all you were doing was getting a number so that you could do the good thing, and that is work and provide for yourself and your family. The ways of man are before the eyes of Yahuwah. He pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked of himself. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Sad words. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Wow, those powerful, powerful words. What do they mean? If thou be surety for thy friend. So what does it mean to be surety for a friend? Well, we could simply say that if someone comes to you and says, how about co-signing on this loan for me? That's a way of becoming surety for thy friend. How about if you sign up for Social Security? Aren't you surety for all the other signer-uppers of Social Security? Huh. You've stricken your hand. Well, to strike the hand means that you've signed an agreement. You've made a binding agreement. If thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger. Golly, you know, aren't there a bunch of strangers down there at that Social Security office? How much stranger can you get, you know? I mean, let me shake Social Security's hand. Let me talk to him. You know, that's pretty darn strange when you strike hands or make an agreement with a fictitious entity, an entity put together for the surety, as we could call it, social security. Social surety, that's what it is. Same word, there we go. Social surety. So, powerful words. My son, if you be surety for your friend, if you've stricken hands with a stranger. So whether it's for a friend or a stranger, it's a snare. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Yeah, or with the document that you signed. Same thing. You are taken with the words of your mouth. Are you taken by that agreement that you signed? Of course, they struck hands and they had verbal agreements then. And of course, they may have brought their own witnesses to the agreement. And that way, if there was a problem, get all the witnesses together and you hope that the truth prevails. But, you know, now all these contracts are written down and, yeah, there you go. But that's basically what it's talking about. You've stricken your hand with a stranger. You've become surety for a friend. Same thing. It says, do this now. Deliver thyself. Yes, what does it mean to deliver yourself? You've got into this snare. You know, I talk about the net that's spread in vain in the sight of any bird. Well, they spread the net in front of us because we were so mind-controlled and indoctrinated in the ways of the world that they spread the net and we walked right in. They said, hey, you know, step onto the net, you know, and then you can go work and earn bread for your family. Perhaps you'll even have something you can tie down at your local church and give to the poor. They spread the net. And they didn't spread it in vain because they trained us to walk right into it. That makes us more dumb than a bird-brained bird that has a brain smaller than a pea because they won't step into a net. But here we are. We're ensnared. Thou art snared with the words of the mouth. You are snared by the agreement that you sign. And he says, do this now, my son, and deliver yourself. So how do you deliver yourself? Well, get out of the net, you know. Don't try to tear yourself free too quickly. You got to remember you're ensnared, and if you're in the net, you got to pay heed to whoever it is that has control of the net, because if you're ensnared, they just may take you and everything that you have. We see it over and over. They make examples of high profile cases every year. You know, they just had a high profile case. Poor man went to prison for 3 years for 3 misdemeanors. Imagine that. Don't want to be made an example of. So he was in the net, and he struggled while he was in the net. Yes, get out of the net. Deliver yourself first, you know. You don't want to be caught by him. You got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Those are the wise words of Yahshua, our Messiah. Wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So in delivering yourself, say, here's the scene. We're being set up here. You become surety. You've stricken your hand with a stranger. You were snared by the words of your mouth or the agreement that you made. You were taken. He says, do this now, my son. Deliver thyself. And so I add, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove when you're getting yourself out of that snare. Otherwise, they just may take you. As long as you're caught in the snare and they see you're trying to get out, well, they don't want to let you go. They want to keep you a slave. And that's why it's so important to carefully deliver yourself out of the hand, out of the net that you've got yourself caught in. Okay, we're going to stop here for a little bit of music and some messages. We'll be back. You're listening to Cross the Border.